Welcome, welcome to another...
The official podcast of The Leaky Cauldron.
The Leaky Cauldron.
The Leaky Cauldron.
Do you hear that, Ern? The Leaky Cauldron.
Just go! You're wasting time!
Welcome to Pottercast, your number one source for news, theories, discussion and interviews with people from the Potter books and films. I know a small amount myself, having written the books. My name is J.K. Rowling. I am now happy to introduce your hosts, Melissa, John and Sue.
Okay, it's Pottercast number 194. We're only 6 shows away from our bicentennial when we all wear powdery wigs and get carved into the side of a mountain.
Hey-o.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be a weird mountain.
That's fun. Funny. Mount Pottercast.
Oh, hey, if there's Mount Pellegrino.
It's an awesome and information-filled show for you this week. We have a first-hand, on-the-scene preview of the Harry Potter exhibit in Chicago. Woohoo!
Hey-o.
Staffer Edward was there.
I'm kind of jealous, but I want to go.
Well, we're going to go over the summer.
Are we doing anything?
Want to go?
Like nearby?
No, we're trying. We're trying to do our Chicago show at the museum.
Hey-o.
There, there, I said it. See what you get to find out when you come to these shows? We're trying to do a thing in Chicago at the museum. But even if we don't do our show there, we'll just... We'll go there, right?
Well, hey-o.
All right, what else we got? We got lots of news in the show. We're going to do quick fire can conundrums with our live. Bit by bit, we'll be back next time. The fault for its delay is all mine, but we'll get to that later. All right, people?
You totally are screwing everything up all the time.
I am all the time. It's all my fault.
God.
It is. It's all my fault. Sue, what's happening in the Harry Potter news this week? Let's get right to it.
I just want to hear news.
We have a lot of news, actually, we have more than five, and this is important. No, I do want to start out with this because we've been waiting for it here in the United States. The A Year in the Life documentary with J.K. Rowling is going to be aired finally on ABC July 16th, which, as we know, is right near when Half-Blood Prince is coming out in theaters.
And it's, what is it? Let me think.
I want to buy it.
The day that Half-Blood Prince, the book, came out?
Pretty close. It's
July 16th? Was it July 16th or July 17th? That it came out.
I think it was the 16th.
It was the 16th.
I have my little poster up. Yeah, imagine 16th. That. 2005. Wow.
Right?
Yeah, it is. I have the poster up from Scholastic up on my wall. That's what it is.
Aw, I still haven't put up our fun, cool, like, prints we got from that awesome bookstore in New York.
I know, I need to put mine up, too.
On the Lost
I need
New
to
York
put
Day.
Up as well. I have them. I just have to put them in frames and put them up.
I mean, so it's about time we're getting to see this. I know that it's aired in the UK and Australia, and I think parts of Europe have already seen
and
it.
And on YouTube.
What?
YouTube. Sorry. Something in my throat.
Surely not.
Surely not. But
he's going to take it down off.
And it miraculously keeps coming back. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
Yeah.
But
I want to buy it. Are they going to sell it?
Oh, let's hope. I want it.
I'd want to buy it, too. I'd totally throw my support into that. The guy, James Runcie, who did it, is a very, very nice person and a very talented documentary filmmaker.
It's just breathtaking. It'd be one of those things you can put on in the background while you're cleaning and just...
Oh, for sure.
If you're going to draw...
That's exactly when I would do it.
Or if you're going to be watching a movie, put it on in the background.
Totally, Frack.
I totally like where you're going with this, Frack.
I do want to say, Joe had... One of the things we will see in the documentary, and I know a lot of people are interested, is the family tree and what happens afterwards. She gives a little bit more about, and that's we hear a little bit more about, like, who Luna married and that kind of stuff, and it's really cool. So definitely watch that. It's worth it. Our friend Dan Radcliffe, guess what? He got nominated as Best Actor at the Drama Desk Awards for his performance in Equus, which is...
What?
Let me tell you something. I almost like the Drama Desk Awards more than the Tonys. You know how, like, people like the Golden Globes more than the Oscars?
Yeah.
Kind of how I feel about the Drama Desk Awards. They're like that one step. Yeah, it's like one step below the mass craziness, commercial, all politics event. It's like it's sort of the more. I don't want to say more genuine because the Tonys really aren't anything like the Oscars. But it's. I don't know. I feel like it's almost a higher honor. You know.
Well, I just thought this was a big deal. I mean, him getting. And Richard Griffiths was not nominated, which is amazing. Oh. And then Dan was for lead actor. You know. I mean, I just. And the Tony Awards are coming up. They haven't announced them. I think they're going to announce them, I think, maybe this week, but or soon, very soon.
Ooh.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I think he'll get nominated. Probably Richard Griffiths wasn't nominated because they would both be considered lead actors. Neither one is supporting. And probably people aren't going to vote for two from the same with that show because they're like the whole show, those guys. You know.
Oh, now, has that ever happened before? Two leading roles being nominated for the same film?
Yeah, films, shows. Yeah, it's happened, but it's rare. Wasn't Crash? Wasn't like everybody nominated for Crash? All right, Sue, what else is up in the news?
We heard from our friend Matt Lewis. Matt flew over to Calgary for one of those expos, and he answered a lot of questions for the fans, and he talked about doing Deathly Hallows and his new look. At Neville's new look in Deathly Hallows is a leaner, meaner rock and roll Neville.
Yeah.
Nice. Final. Yes. Good. Good, good, good. They need to hot him up. Good.
Yeah, he's not
hot
him up. That's good. You're so bad, John.
It's true. They need to. I stand by the phrase. It's so great because he's been such a like a pudgy little dork in all the movies.
Whoa.
And we know that when you see, well, that's Neville, and it's supposed to be like when he's supposed to be a big BA at the end, you know.
Oh, I can't wait till he chops McGinney's head off.
He is really looking forward to that too, Frankie. He said that is like the scene he is most keen on, and I just can imagine.
And he's gonna better be in there.
It's better. It wouldn't only be like bad fan karma. I feel like it'd be bad storytelling karma. That's not something you skip. That's one of the most amazing moments in all seven books. There's no way. That and the Bellatrix moment. There's no way they're not going to do those.
Oh my gosh, Bellatrix moment. What spell did she use? It was never clear.
No, it was Avada Kedavra.
And it never said Avada Kedavra, though. And I'm curious, yeah, can you kill someone else? Can you kill people with curses that aren't Avada Kedavra?
Yes,
is it the only spell that can kill people?
You could totally.
No, if I set you on fire,
like,
you're going to die.
Like, if you did, like, stunning, like, yeah, what if you do like a really, really, really bad stunning? You know how when, like, in book five, when they attacked McGonagall, like, they had, like, five stunner spells on her, and they said, yeah, it's lucky she survived? So there, technically, a stunning spell, you know, powerful enough could kill somebody.
But Frankie, that's how Fred died, though. I mean, it was they blew up the wall, so technically you can say an explosion spell killed him because he was killed and, you know, from an explosion. So it wasn't necessarily a
violent. Was he killed from the explosion? I thought there was an explosion and then he got AK'd. Maybe I'm wrong. Mm. I gotta look that up.
No, he died at the explosion because when it cleared, he was on the floor.
Yeah, I thought that's what happened. So, I mean,
no, but that spell is definitely. No, but, like, wizards have so many ways of defending them. So basically, like, Voldemort versus the baby. Like, if Voldemort had walked in and stupefied instead of AK'd, maybe the books wouldn't have happened.
Mm-hmm.
Stupefy Maxima.
Because does it in the book? She doesn't say about a cadaver, does she, Molly?
Well,
it hits her square in the chest.
It's not put in the text, but I would imagine for Avada Kedavra, you have to say it.
Right? Isn't that happen with Sirius though too? I mean, there was that. It was just a green flash of light, and then he fell through the veil.
With Sirius, wasn't it a red flash of light?
Or red or something?
Yeah,
it was
Sirius,
a flash.
Yeah, the veil killed him, not the spell.
The veil. Yeah.
That's why it was all ambiguous. Like, oh, he's gonna come back. Anyway, this is probably more of a canon conundrum than anything.
I know. Still in the news. Okay,
you should probably just test it during a quick fire. That's going to be my quick fire.
But yes, Matt is filming his scenes. Yeah, John?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I just want to say that Matt is going to be filming his scenes in October, in the fall, when a lot of the adult actors are going to be doing their things in the fall. So that should be very exciting. So I'm sure we'll have.
It's going to be so amazing. Just to say you were there watching it that day, you know? Oh, my gosh.
Well, speaking of Epistat, Melissa has posted our Haplet Prince set visits were all just released this last week, and you have a really great one about Miss Luna.
Preview numero dos. It's about how Luna made the lion hat in the movie. It's all based on her design prop with it. Luna. I just called her Luna instead of Ivana. You see how hard it is?
You jerk.
Okay.
Oh, I did too.
I was about to clarify. I was going to say, wait, Luna the character? Like, she talks about, like, the theory and the magic behind her charming it. I'm like, wow!
I bet
that would be
amazing. Down the street. I bet you walking down the street, she would answer to Luna.
Oh, be nice.
I am being nice. She's Luna. She embodies. I'm being very nice. She embodies Luna. She is. It's a good thing. Anyway, so they didn't know. They got stuck. They didn't know how to do it. They all the sketches just kept coming out wrong, so finally somebody had the brainwave. Well, nobody knows more than Ivana. Ask Ivana. She goes home, she stays up all night, comes in with like 20 charcoal sketches, and gives it to them, and they were like, yes, this is it. And they made the hat based on her spec.
I want to see those sketches, Ivana.
I hope she signs them and puts them up for charity or something.
Yes, I want to see them.
Okay,
well, Frankie
okay.
needs to see them, then, I guess.
I'm whispering, because no one else can hear me, just Ivana. Email me them.
Why don't you email her and ask for them?
I'm just being silly. Oh, I could. I didn't think of that.
Oh, my goodness.
You still brag about that?
About what, Frank?
I talked to her on email one time. I was like, I talked to her down there. Sorry. Just to random people who don't
care. They're like, they could care less about Harry Potter. I'm like, I know Luna, okay? So, bag off.
While I was in Italy, one of my cousins introduced me to another, like a baby, kind of very, very far cousin. She's like 6 years old, as, you know, the person who knows everything about Harry Potter. And she told him that she talks and she speaks to the actors and she knows Harry Potter, you know, like the way adults do. And she knows, and she knows the girl who plays Luna, and the girl's face, I mean, on this little child's face, she thought I was the coolest person on the face of the earth. So I get the allure, especially when it's little kids, because they're just so excited. They just want to, like, I don't know, they look so thrilled. It's cute.
Yeah.
It's not all true. I don't know Harry Potter. It's a nice thing to be charged with.
You don't know a fictional character?
Shh, back. Secret. Sorry. All right. What's happening?
I just continuing on the Haplet Prince interviews, there have been a ton of them this week. There were so many to go through, but we saw new character posters. We saw the soundtrack cover. There's a contest for only certain people in the United States. There's all kinds of interviews. Please check leakynews.com, because this last week alone, it's just, there must be at least 10 different things. So, and I don't even know what to say about that. Go through to that. But I do want to say this. Okay. Shell Cottage for Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows is now almost done in the coastline of Wales, and it is awesome.
Hey, can I say something else?
No.
You might not know if you don't go to Leaky all the time, if you sometimes go to other places to check out your Harry Potter news, but there are exclusive images of Shell Cottage that Sue scooped and put on Leaky that, only if you check Leaky regularly would you even know about them. So I think that it's a good idea that you go check it out.
How is that possible?
Because people care less about what the fans care about than what they... Well, anyway, I'm going to shut up before I get myself into trouble.
You know what's cool? We saw the roof is all seashells. I love it. It's unbelievably cool.
I like how pointy it is.
It is. Very cool.
Yeah, it's pointy. They got it just right. I mean, just right. That dune that they have it on and the whole windswept feel of it. Oh, it's going to be great. I'm so excited.
In my head, I always imagine it at nighttime, though, so it was weird seeing it during the day. I never even realized I imagined it at night all the time until I saw it.
I've always had it like a dusk.
I see.
You know?
The sky's purple in my head.
Well, we don't know how they're going to shoot it, though. I mean, because, you know, if they're building a platform, which is probably due of two things. How, one, we're like, maybe the area towards where Dobby will be buried, but two, where the cameras will be, and they'll shoot, I don't know how much in the sea they'll shoot, too. I mean, they're doing a week of filming, which comes up very quickly. I mean, tomorrow is May, and then they're going to be shooting from May 11th through the 15th. So I don't know if they're going to shoot at night or not. I can't imagine they would too much. That would be hard to light down there in the beach, I would think. But
tomorrow is May, huh?
It is May. You know what happens in May, Melissa?
Sue, why don't you tell everybody what happens in May?
Why, let's think. There's this little thing called LeakyCon!
I cannot believe that we are in the month of LeakyCon. 2 years ago we've been talking about this, and now it's the month. Oh, gosh.
And if that isn't enough alone to get you excited, ladies and gentlemen, Melissa has posted something extraordinary that we're getting for LeakyCon, and I want you to tell it because it's so amazing, these photos. One of a kind, only thing in the world. Take it away, Melissa. Amazing.
J.K. Rowling and Scholastic have donated all 10 Harry Potter, published American hardback edition Harry Potter books, and J.K. Rowling has signed them all. This is a set that is unbelievably rare to the point that it is the only one that exists in the world. We're sure about it until she signs another set. This is it. They are all gorgeous, pristine. They're signed in light green ink. They all have authenticity seals. They're all individually wrapped in bubble paper that they are going to stay that way until we hand them over. I took pictures of them. I took a video that's on our Pottercast channel, youtube.com/Pottercast. If you're not a subscriber, don't even talk to me. Go check it all out at leakynews.com. We have some gorgeous high-res images of them, which are watermarked because we don't want these images to be used for fakes on eBay. But they are, I swear to God, I mean, opening these up and I wash my hands 5 times. I refuse to crack the spine. I'm being more careful with these than most of other things I own. The only way to get them is to be a registered member, a registrant at LeakyCon. And that is the only way to buy a chance. We're going to be doing a raffle at LeakyCon. And,
that is so awesome.
That's it. Because we didn't want it to be an auction, because that's one person who has a lot of money as opposed to a lot of people who don't have that much money, but want to get a chance of something. I mean, when has this not been an auction? When has something like this been reachable to any Harry Potter fan before? Really never.
Yeah.
Right?
And if you do have a little extra, wait, how many tickets are you allowed to buy?
as many as your heart desires.
See, if you have a little extra money, you know, throw some extra money away because of charity.
And it's all for charity. They are, all the books are going to one person. The value is vastly, vastly increased for them to be, all together. It is a full signed 10 book set to be raffled as one. It is one prize.
I just got the chills, though, when Melissa was, like, very carefully on our YouTube channel. She has video up. And you can see just, like, the camera pans in, and you can see Joe's name right underneath of Albus Dumbledore in The Fantastic Beasts. And, I mean, I don't know if she signed a lot of those before when they came out. I don't know. Maybe she did. But that just blew me away. I was like, wow. And then seeing the Beetle the Bard signature was
awesome.
You know that, yeah, the Beetle the Bard one, I don't think that a signed American edition of Beetle the Bard, you know, even exists unless she has a friend who brought one over, you know, unless they brought over a couple, Scholastic had her sign a couple. I mean, yeah, some of the people are asking if they get security when they win. Well, that's an interesting question. It's why we're doing it at the at the goodbye breakfast for LeakyCon, because we don't want you to have so much time left in the hotel with them. We will be happy to bring them back to our undisclosed location after you win them for you to pick them up after, you know, right before you go home if you don't want them in your room. While the conference is going on, I mean, we'll take care. We don't have security guards, but we'll take care of you. Don't worry.
I got your back.
Amazing. But that's not all that's going on at LeakyCon, is it, Melissa? We have another cool keynote.
It's ridiculous what's happening, guys. Can I explain to you? If I had nothing to do with any Harry Potter site and I saw this conference, I would be going out of my mind to get there. First of all, you have the Nosh with the Nerdfighters, which is it's going to be an amazing event with John and Hank Green. It's selling out so fast. We announced it first, so it's selling out fastest, so you should get your tickets right now. You can go to LeakyCon.com to get all those links. That is going to be a wonderful presentation about Harry Potter and community with Hank and John Green, who are the Vlog Brothers, who are all kinds of ridiculous awesome. Then we have the Q&A with Michael Goldenberg, which is out of control. It's completely insane. Oh, Q&A with Michael Goldenberg, who wrote the movie 5. We've never had a screenwriter speak to the fans, never mind come to a conference, never mind open himself up to any questions you want. Michael Goldenberg is a very highly sought-after screenwriter. He wrote 2003's Peter Pan, which I know a lot of Harry Potter fans
are. I love that movie so much.
Is amazing. The movie is fantastic.
So tickets are going quick, right?
Oh, very quickly. I mean, yeah. So I would get one immediately. And then our third keynote is going to be John Green from the Vlog Brothers, but in a different setting, talking with Cheryl Klein from who is one of the editors on the Harry Potter books, Hot Cheryl, which all of our listeners.
Cool. I did not know about that.
They are going to be together talking about writing and the young adult fiction and all kinds of things. Really more about the editor and author relationship. You don't hear a lot about the editor-author relationship and how it meshes to create a wonderful book or increase the greatness of a book. John Green is a Prince Award-winning young adult novelist. The Prince Award is the highest award you can win as a young adult novelist. His books are funny and popular and also very challenging and entertaining. And insightful. Cheryl, meanwhile, in addition to Harry Potter, is becoming a huge and sought after editor in her own right. Her latest book, Marcello in the Real World, got 5-starred reviews. 2 of her books won huge awards at this year's ALA dinner. She's someone who really knows and can articulate what makes fiction good. And so if you have any interest in writing at all, this is the one to go. Also, this one, because we know that the keynotes are expensive for people and you really don't care about having your food at a keynote, we took out the lunch portion so that we can give it to you for a much lower price. The keynote will only cost $20.
Sweet.
So,
that's quite the bargain there for that.
Yeah, I'll go somewhere and grab a burrito. I don't need
It's $20 is completely ludicrous for a keynote like this. I actually look at the price and I'm thinking, really? Really?
I do want to stress, I mean, the economy is still hard for a lot of people, but please do not forget that these people are donating their time because this is all for charity. And I think that somehow is getting lost in the shuffle. And the proceeds are benefiting 2 charities that are really, really important to us. And we are here because of the books and this is going for literacy. And so I would hope that you would all consider that. I know it's an expense, but like for the $20 one, you cannot beat that to have 2 just really exceptional people speaking. And I hope they're going to take some questions, right? So we can still ask Cheryl about Potter if we want. I mean, it's not off.
Oh, yes. Well, they're going to talk, or are talking, will be talking, will have spoken before the event to get their thoughts in order. But, I mean, these are two of the people that if I have a question about writing, I would first, among five people in my life that I would speak to, they are very high among those five. It's like my editor or my agent and these guys, and J.K. Rowling. There you go. There's the five that I would ask a question about writing. And, you know, honestly, they're two enormously insightful and intelligent people. Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
I'm excited. I can't believe it's this month. In a few weeks, I'm going to get to see you guys. It's going to be exciting.
Yay. We're all going to be together.
No.
Together again.
Oh, my God. We have to play that song.
What song is this?
Muppet song.
Muppets. John.
Together again.
Oh, no, I just feel stupid for not knowing that.
Muppets take Manhattan. It's like
John. And then whenever my friends get married, I go, somebody's getting married. somebody's getting. And they're like, huh? I'm like, you know what? Go watch a movie.
Okay. All right. So that's for LeakyCon. LeakyCon, guys. I can't even think. We have a question in the chat about whether we're going to be putting any of LeakyCon live. Is that?
I'm not sure. Maybe.
You know what? Keep the eye on the Twitter. Yeah, that's what you do. Keep eye on Twitter.
Twitter channels would that be, Frankie?
Twitter.com/Pottercast.
You should really all right now tell everybody that you know to follow Twitter.com/Pottercast.
It's good. Why?
It's all the hip happening thing to do.
And one last thing, I know we've been talking about LeakyCon, but we are extending the Twitter contest to win tickets, right, Melissa?
Thank you, Sue. We are doing the Twitter contest. You can go get all the details at leakynews.com, find one of our LeakyCon posts. There's 8 billion of them on the page. And you can find the phrases that you can put into your Twitter to be entered into a contest to win a ticket to one of the keynotes for you or the registrant of your choice. What does that mean? That means that you don't have to be the person who goes to the keynote, which is important because if you have a friend who's going to LeakyCon who really, really, really wants to go to the Michael Goldenberg keynote but can't afford it, Twitter it, maybe you'll win, and you can give that ticket to the registrant.
That's really nice. I like that.
Go do it, and that's it.
Yay.
Do we go on to the rest of the show, or do we have more news?
Well, we have big news, but we're going to talk about that coming up because Harry Potter, the exhibit, has opened. It is an exceptional thing. We're going to talk about that next, aren't we?
Do it.
I think so.
Let's do it. We have a very special segment for you guys right now. As most of you know, or hopefully most of you know, there is an exhibition of the Harry Potter props and scenery in Chicago right now at the Chicago, what's it called, Sue? The Museum of Science and
Industry.
Museum of Science and Industry. There is a very special thing going on called the Harry Potter exhibit. It's going to be there, I think, currently until September, but it's going to travel around. And there was a very special preview day there today, and our own Edward Drogos, who is one of the editors on the main page of Leaky, went and previewed it. And he's going to tell us all about it right now.
Do it, Edward. Yay!
Well, first off, I thought I should say, just right off the bat, that if you're anywhere near Chicago, or if you can get to Chicago, come see this exhibit. I think this is one of the most fantastic things that has ever been put on. I think something that every fan desires to see, and I don't think anyone would ever be disappointed in the slightest. It's just that fantastic.
Did they have each Hagrid hut, or did they just do one?
I'd love it if there was, like, models of everyone.
Well, they just had the one, but from the moment you walk in to the moment you leave, like, your eyes are just darting around just to see everything that they have there. His hut, for example, you enter in next to, like, the little, like, garden patch with big pumpkins and moss and grass, and you see the McNair, the executioner's costume, and the trio's outfits for there, and there are clothes on top of Hagrid's hut that move, and the heads move around, and the eyes blink at you. It's
wow.
There's stuff everywhere to see. And inside Hagrid's hut, I mean, Hagrid himself, Hagrid's outfit takes up a good corner of the entire hut. He's just massive. His shoes were like, I can't even think of something to describe how big Hagrid's shoes are.
Can you walk around in these things, or are they all roped off?
There were some that you could walk into. Mainly Hagrid's Hut was really the only thing that you could truly walk into, walk through. Could, you know, stand next to the table in the fireplace and actually sit in Hagrid's chair, which actually sort of felt as if Hagrid had sat in it. I mean, that's the kind of detail that they have. That was really the only thing that you could walk into. Most everything else is sectioned off. But you can get up, you know, really, really close to things. I mean, you could, I don't think you are supposed to, but you could reach out and touch Harry's bed and, you know, touch customs, but you really, really shouldn't do that.
Oh, yeah. Probably shouldn't advocate that, huh?
Yeah.
No.
Probably not.
This museum seems to, part of their mission seems to be very hands-on and educational things, and I think this was something that they really strive for when they set up the distance exhibit. Everything was as hands-on as it could be, that you get right in there and really see the detail and all of the work that the, you know, filmmakers and, you know, creative people put into it to make it as real as possible for the films.
Well, there's one hands-on thing you can do that my Hufflepuffs would be enjoying, right,
yes.
Edward?
Yes.
You're and what able, would this be?
Well, you're able to walk to this little herbology area, and there's this little table set up with about 5 little pots, and you're able to step up there and pull a baby mandrake. It's pretty cool.
Does it actually make noise?
It does. It makes the exact noise. Sadly, they didn't have earmuffs for you, but you yank it up, and this little ugly little thing comes out of the pot and it screams, and it's just, that was fantastic.
Is the noise like a squee?
It sounds like a squee to me.
Is that where squeeze came from?
It's basically that fast, yeah. It's basically that small cry.
Okay.
Hysterical.
Sad squeeze.
But, so did they have, like Professor Sprout's costumes? Did they have all the different costumes like hers? And, like, we heard about Slughorn's being there, and Voldemort's is there. I mean, they have all that stuff.
Voldemort's is green, huh?
It is. Voldemort's costumes, one of the most spectacular things that I saw, because I didn't know it was green, and it's this very light, shimmery fabric, and it's sort of like sways in the wind. It's very, the whole like dark magic section is, it's the whole atmosphere changes when you walk into that. You can tell that you're in like this dark area where dark magic is happening, and above you, they have the dark mark forming like in clouds and haunting you above you. That, I thought that was an excellent detail. And the sound that they have incorporated throughout this entire thing really helps set the mood for each exhibit that you are looking at and standing in.
Wow.
That sounds so awesome.
Edward, was there a pink room with a cat in it?
There was. They focused on a number of classrooms, and you sort of are just assaulted by this pink bubble as you walk towards Umbridge's classroom. Everything is pink.
Man.
The floor, the stone, the windows, there are these tapestries on the wall, and these like paisley pink curtains, and her pens were pink, the upholstery on the chair, the pink ribbon going up and down the walls, holding those actual little cat plates. There's been 2 dozen of them. They were all pink. It was my eyes were saw pink for about 10 minutes after I walked through that. It was. That was something.
Did
I
mew?
To see.
Did like that
you
one
know,
cat mew?
I listened as hard as I could, but I did not hear cats meowing.
Oh.
That's it. Which is something they should
thank
totally
God
do.
They did ask Moochka to be part of that, but they weren't going to provide her with the filet mignon she requires every hour, so she said no.
They could not afford her.
No, she's too much of a diva.
Yeah.
Can I say this? How exciting this is, because this is all the props from the movies, and I know Frank can remember, but this is the first time I met Frankie is when we got to see the exhibit at the Warner Brothers studio tour, and that was just we went on that tour together, and it was such, I just remember being elated, out of my mind, just elated. I mean, it was such a bonding moment, too, with Frankie, because he was so wonderful, but did you just feel that sense of like you had literally walked into the movies?
Oh, definitely. As soon as you enter, you are greeted by this man in a long dark cloak who, like, gathers everyone around the sorting hat. From then on, you really thought that you were entering into this magical world. Once you get sorted, you go into this other little room, and then the Hogwarts Express comes at you, almost. I mean, there's the sound of the images moving, and then a horn, and this big bright light comes at you, and it's just, like, you are there on on the platform walking into Hogwarts.
I have a quick question. So when the Sorting Hat sorted somebody, did it talk?
It did. This recording of the Sorting Hat has supposed to come on speakers and say different lines from when other students had been sorted from the films. And then,
so that means no Ravenclaw sorting?
There was a Ravenclaw sorting, yes.
There was? That doesn't happen in the movie.
There was.
Oh, good.
That's interesting because that's why they couldn't do it when we were there, right?
Right.
Yeah, because they didn't have a soundbite for Ravenclaw. It was a soundbite for Gryffindor, Hufflepuff, and Slytherin. But that's cool that they did Ravenclaw. Yay. I won't be afraid to sit down now.
Yes.
There are some people that want to know, Edward, if you were allowed to take pictures or video or anything.
You're not. Cameras are strictly prohibited inside the exhibit. However, in the main lobby of the museum, they do have the Fort Anglia on display.
Ooh.
So you can take pictures of that.
What about, like, if you busted out your cell phone to take some pictures, what would happen to you, do you suppose? Would they spank you, perhaps?
They have speaker scopes. And if you try, it'll...
I think it's something that you should see in person anyway. I don't think there's any better way to experience it than walking through the Fat Lady portrait hall.
Is it movie 3 Fat Lady or movie 1 Fat Lady?
It's movie 3 Don French. There's like a full-size screen of Don French sitting there with the portrait door swung open, and then she's there and she's trying to crack glass with just the sound of a voice.
This is my voice.
That's really cool.
Cool. Well, what was your favorite bit of the whole thing?
Well, the thing that I was most blown away by was they had the knight and the rook from the chess game from Sorcerer's Stone. Seeing those in person was really, really, really cool. Just they're massive things, and the knight is basically like looming over you and looks as if that it's just going to take a sword and swipe you. But the thing that I was most interested to see was something that was almost hidden just as you enter the Great Hall, which was the Bloody Baron's costume.
What?
They have that there. Now, I think we've only seen that for like a split second in the film, but they have the actual thing there. And the amount of detail that they put in that costume is simply amazing. I mean, there's like red blood stains from his neck down his collar and chest and down. There's, I mean, the detail of all of the stitching and the buttons and the design and the shoes and just the whole thing, that's something that I just had to stand and look at for a good couple minutes just to take the whole thing. I thought that was definitely one of my favorite things there.
Did they have the Frozen Hermione?
They did not have Frozen Hermione. They had Petrified Colin Creevy, though.
I can imagine it might be pretty risky having a Petrified Hermione there.
Okay. Question from Slightly. Will the exhibition ever come to the UK? Did you find out anything about that?
Well, they weren't able to give details on where it would be next. However, they did say that we should have where it's going to head next within the coming weeks. I was able to ask afterwards about how long they expect this entire exhibition to carry on, and they have plans for about a 5-year run.
Wow.
Was there a gift shop?
There was a gift shop. The gift shop was in itself such a cool thing. They have everything Harry Potter related that you could imagine. They have the Tonner dolls. They have the San Francisco Music Box cups and snow globes. They have a bunch of new merchandise. And they had Bertie Bott's every favorite beans. And actually, they had a new candy, which I had to buy for myself, called Fudge Flies. Fantastic sugar. I've never seen them before. I saw them and said, okay, I have to go and get some candy. So they have an amazing amount of things there that you just walk in there, and each section is housed in like a Borgin and Burt's area, and then Madame Rosmerta's area, and then the clothes are under the...
Madame Malkin's or something like that?
Yes, thank you. Madame Malkin's is where all of the t-shirts and clothes and stuff are.
Wow.
Do they have Ravenclaw merchandise?
They do have good Ravenclaw merchandise. They have,
good.
They have most everything there that I've seen. They have the Marauder's Map, and they have the audiobooks. They have a ton of stuff there.
That reminds me about audio. Back when you're on the tour, is there like an audio tour? Like you heard that there's clips with like Stuart Craig, our friend Stuart Craig, talking to this production designer and the
Stuart Craig.
Did you see that?
They do have an audio tour. Unfortunately, they weren't able to give us the audio tour for the tour that we went on. However, they did say that they went to Houston and spoke with the filmmakers and heads of department and various other designers, and other people who actually created the props and the sets that you see there, and spoke with them about how they have the books and they have the scripts and how they use their own creativity to create this physical object and what that entire process is like. I mean, I'm definitely planning to go back. So I take the audio tour and I can hear from the, you know, Stu Craig and the set designers and the costume designers and all of those people. That would be one of the coolest things to have to accompany you on this tour.
Is the audio tour initial cost?
I don't believe so, no. I think it's an option.
How much is the admission to the thing?
The exhibition is $26 for adults.
Wow.
It isn't too bad. I think it's definitely worth it.
That's some money, though. That's for real.
I mean,
yeah.
For anything that you see and everything that you experience, you know, walking in there as a fan, I think you're just transported into this magical world. And for $26, I think it's totally worth it.
Somebody else wants to know, is Aragog big and scary in the exhibit?
Well, they didn't have Aragog. They had an Ekmentula, which was still a humongous giant spider.
Right.
So did we ever hear anything about Miss Jo? Did she do anything with this?
Well, I was able to ask about Jo's involvement, because we had heard in recent days that Jo had looked over plans, but they said that Jo saw the plans through WB. So she didn't have any direct input or oversight in what they brought here or designed, but they are also very hopeful that she will make a trip to this exhibit to see it in person.
And they told you exactly when she was going to do it, right? So that you could go?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, totally. I have all the information.
Maybe in July sometime.
Maybe I'll invite you along.
That sounds about right.
All right. Let's take one more question from the Twitter. Are any of Dumbledore's things in it?
Dumbledore's costume is there. They had Richard Harris Dumbledore and had Michael Gambon Dumbledore, and I thought that was very interesting to see. I think that you can tell the different personalities of the two actors playing Dumbledore, even with the costumes. I mean, the Richard Harris costume seems a lot more heavy and detailed and embroidered, and Michael Gambon's is more light and free, I guess you could say. They did have Dumbledore's wand, too, which I thought was pretty cool to see.
Oh, the Elder Wand.
Yeah.
What's funny is when they made that wand for movie one, did they ever think that they were making, like, the most important prop in the entire
series? They've changed the wands for different movies, haven't they?
Not for the characters, I don't think.
Not since 3.
Yeah, 3, I think, is when decided they're keeping it.
They had a number of wands. They had Voldemort's wand in Sirius Black. They had Snape and Slughorn and McGonagall and a number of other wands there too. I think for most of the costumes that they had on display, they had their wands with them.
Voldemort's wand, I think, is hilarious because it's like this evil made of bone, like a carved femur. And then it's like whoever that wand chooses is like, you know, let's keep an eye on that kid because.
Oh, not totally. I mean, what would possess Ollivander one day to make a wand out of a bone? Get it?
He was feeling fanciful, John. Fanciful. Oh, I have a bone. I'll make a wand. Okay, guys. Edward, your full report is going to be on Leaky shortly, as well as audio from the roundtable interviews in which you were able to take part. Thank you so much for going, and thank you so much for coming here and participating in this, and we will see you soon.
Excellent. Thank you so much. It was an amazing experience, and thank you so much for having me on the show.
No, no, no.
Yay,
everybody,
Edward.
Say thank you. Everybody say thank you to Edward in the chat.
Thank you, Edward in the chat.
Edward in the chat. Bye.
You have Twittered us. your questions. You have Twittered us your interest in being smarter than me, and now it's time to play. Let's do it.
Hey.
What's your name? Where are you from? What's your house?
I'm Samantha. I'm in Gryffindor, and I'm from Ontario.
Work at
Ontario, Canada?
Yep.
Oh, I'm from Ontario, California. I grew up there, which is very far from where you are.
Very far.
I have a question. What was the password for the pre-fake bathroom in Goblet of Fire?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Mm. I know this one.
Mm. Did you know I can type your answer?
I'm going to type my answer. I'm going to type it right into the thing. It's going to be not a clue.
What was your name again? I'm sorry, I forgot.
Samantha.
Samantha. Sorry about that.
Yep.
Hey, Samantha was a witch on Tweety, too. Okay, what's your answer, Samantha?
I have no idea.
Take a
guess. And I just read the book, too. Well,
I think that your answer is still better than John's. So you want to let everybody know what John's answer is?
It's an answer that only John can give, and it's called Snagglepuss.
Snagglepuss.
Oh, Snapple, I'm sorry.
Snagglepuss.
It could have been Snagglepuss. Am I right or am I wrong?
No, you're completely wrong.
It's not even
Pine Fresh, right?
Yeah, Pine Fresh. See, that was close.
Don't you remember Cedric leaned over and said it's Pine Fresh?
All right.
Here's an easy one. What was Ginny's pygmy puff name?
Oh, I know that one.
Arnold, right?
Oh, come on. You're not playing this part of me. Come on. I would have got that one.
I didn't know you were really asking.
Jeez.
I thought you were saying, oh, here's an easy one, la, 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 and I totally blanked.
Well, because I figured to give him another chance.
I'm sorry.
I don't know it either, and it wasn't really fun or exciting.
I'm out of practice. I'm sorry. I totally thought you were just like, oh, look at this.
This is pretty smart. Look at that.
Oh,
jeez.
Nice. I'm like, do I know it really? I don't know.
Did you say it? I just finished this book off. No, I knew the question. Or heard the question.
You didn't hear the answer.
But I just, oh, God. I'm completely blanking.
Oh.
That's okay. This part two. Dang.
That's okay.
What was it?
He's the governor of California.
I'm Canadian. Come on.
She's from Canadian. Leave her alone.
It's Arnold.
Arnold.
Sorry. I thought Arnold was
Arnold.
He's a Terminator. Yeah. Now he's the governor.
Arnold Schwarzenegger? Yeah.
There you are.
Yeah.
All right. Do one more. Okay. Do one more.
Thank you for playing Are You Smarter Than John Noe? I will send you the $5. I gave you a tip or 10 to be not as smart as me. And you won yourself some really lucky points, so thanks for playing.
All right, thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay,
bye.
All right, what do we got next here?
Hello?
Hi. Name, house, where are you from?
My name's Steven.
No, she's got her Ustream on.
I'm from Slytherin.
Attaboy.
Ooh, Slytherin.
And thanks for answering my question, Melissa, about Arnold.
Oh, cool, sorry. My brain, I don't know where it is.
You ruined this whole deal.
I did. I totally ruined it. I'm sorry. Yeah, next question.
Leave that.
All right, let's give us a question.
What is Cho's favorite Quidditch team?
Oh, I know this.
Good one.
Come on.
I thought the other one was easy. Oh, boy. Okay. What's your answer?
I believe it's the Tornadoes.
Nope.
Yeah.
Yes.
No! Oh, crap.
Yes! John, it's not the tsunamis.
Yes, it is the tsunamis.
It's
Are you
not.
Sure? Look that up.
It's the Tuttle Tornadoes. It is the Tuttle Tornadoes.
What are you talking about? Who's this against who?
Against hurricanes.
I don't know. Is it the tsunami country?
Oh, man.
Oh, no, well, congratulations, friend. You were smarter than John Noe that time around. You have won yourself some Mileyki points and bragging rights forever.
Yeah.
Hear the more.
I don't know. It's becoming not a rare thing.
Now you're catching on.
To be smarter than John.
Wow.
I want to brag.
Are you new?
Why are you so mean to me?
I'm not being mean. That's just, okay. You know, at my expense and all, but whatever. All right. Well, thanks for playing. Take care.
Thanks, guys.
Bye. All right, let's do this again.
I'm Mary from Texas, and I'm a Ravenclaw.
Yay!
Woo, Ravenclaw!
All right, let's lay it on her.
I have one, Frankie.
Okay, go see.
This is not be hard. The Half-Blood Prince is coming out, and there's a really cool party scene. And at the party scene, there's a very famous guest. It's a vampire. Who is his name?
Don't say it.
I don't know it. Hold on.
John's got to type it for us.
See, because we saw a picture of it with Yvonne Lynch standing next to him, Frank, or John. Just a hint.
He's in the room.
Does it give us a tummy ache? You have to take it how many times a day or how many times a week?
Oh, Dino Carroll says, I count the Basque was dying in two. So
oh, yeah.
He is.
But he's not a person, that's a creature, right?
It's a creature,
yeah. Okay,
I'm going to say two or three.
The Weasley class question, because I yelled at them and that was mean of me.
She got doodled after that.
Who was the first student in Harry's year to be sorted and into what house?
Oh,
Claude. And Harry's
that's
ear.
Super hard.
I know.
I don't even
part of the answer.
Okay, wait. Ooh. Let John type his first, and you can go.
Yeah, okay, John, you're going
to get. You know what's funny is, your name is Gina?
Yeah, but it's spelled interestingly.
Like Gina?
Yeah, but with a question there.
My cousin's name is Gina Marie. I'm like,
I think I know.
My cousin, but you're from Chicago, she's from Idaho. So.
I think I know this one.
Nice.
I bet all you guys
do know this one.
I am?
Excellent. Very cool.
This is all you guys.
Very cool.
Oh, man.
Are we tagged?
Yeah.
Are you going to come see us on tour this summer?
July 5th, baby.
Yeah. On. Very good.
Chicago.
All right, John. Confidence. Let's go.
John.
Oh, wait, John, you just gave up on that one. Yeah, you answer now.
John.
Hannah Abbott, and I'm going to guess Ravenclaw?
Well, she's a Hufflepuff.
Oh, she missorted the Hufflepuff.
I think she's the first one.
That's what they put in the answer, at least. Hannah Abbott,
she is a Hufflepuff. I just found it in the book.
You're cheating! You got the book.
Oh my gosh, you can't do that. Jeez.
She admitted it, though. She admitted it right here blatantly. See, that's a Slytherin. She's like, okay, I'm cheating. Oh,
what house
deal?
Is this person? What house are you?
What?
What house are you in?
I'm Hufflepuff, baby.
Oh, see, that explains it.
Okay. John's answer was...
You fail, though, with this answer of yours. Fail in major ways.
And the house is awesome.
Yeah, but I just wasn't sure about the house.
Go ahead.
You win.
Tell him his answer, Molly. Announce
Wompy and then the house of awesome.
That was a deleted chapter.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you for playing, Slytherin. You were smarter than me, almost partially.
Bye, Gina. Bye, guys.
You win 200 points for Slytherin.
Bye.
Bye.
One last one.
One more little person here.
Hi, I'm Amy, and I'm from Ireland, and I'm a Gryffindor.
Amy, hi.
It's
Amy
Snow. How's it going?
Good.
Otherwise known as
Rumel
Devane of the Chocolate Cauldrons.
Hey.
Ms.
Oh.
Rocky.
I recognize your voice.
She is wonderful. She's so magnificent. I love you, Amy. I'm so excited. She's coming to LeakyCon this year. I know it's here. I'm so excited. I'm excited. Oh, my God. You're excited. I'm excited.
Are you neighbors with the Bonavent?
Sounds like Ivana. It's so
we're a couple hundred miles away, but yeah. Call that a neighbor.
You have a very similar accent, though. Maybe it's just because I'm not Irish and I don't hear the difference. But you sound. It's just.
I think we have kind of a common mid-Atlantic accent for.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? It's hard to describe.
Can you tell us what Harry and his friends rode to the ministry in Book 5?
Can you say that again? Sorry.
What did Harry and his friends ride? What were they called when they took the ride from Hogwarts to the ministry?
You're so...
There you go.
Why?
Because in the movie... They call it Testros.
And he makes fun of you, Ivana. Have
he
you
wants,
him?
He wants you to hear you saying they're called Testros.
They're called Testros.
There you go. There you go. 20 points for Slytherin.
Yay!
You're Slytherin?
Where are you?
Oh, I didn't hear. What? I'm just all getting all staticky now. She's
you are so lame. She is a Gryffindor.
I don't know if any of you people in the chat were listening during that Harry Potter Alliance call with Ivana and everything, but we got into a little bit of an impromptu, they're called Thestrals contest of who could do it better, me or her. And I think she squeaked by. She did it a little better than I did.
I would hope.
But, yeah.
I would imagine that that's the case.
Right. Yeah.
People send your question with the answer.
I listen every week, and it's like.
Oh.
Huh?
So that's who was doing that. Thanks for that.
People, I institute in the gym, and people think I'm crazy because I'll be, like, laughing out loud. Everyone else will be, like, really into their workout, and I'll be like, ah, Harry Potter.
I need to listen to that call. I know you just sent it out, but it's one of the many things that Morgan hasn't had time to catch up on.
Oh, yeah, we had a lot of fun.
Oh, cool.
Andrew gave me sound effects control. So I got to hit the applause button and the boo button and the burp button and everything. It was great.
You and Andrew get along really well.
Yes. Yeah, we have to for someone to give me the sound effect button in the middle of their show.
Yes. That is very best trust.
You have to get along very well or I'm being very ill-informed. Okay. All right, question time.
Ooh, I have one.
Okay, go through.
Oh no, this would be tough though, but this is a this is the honor of my Irish friend here. During the Quidditch World Cup, there is an Irish team playing. Can you name any player on the team?
Oh, for love of God.
I couldn't
even tell you what the team's name is called.
Dude. You should have read the book.
There are a lot of classic Irish fans on that team, I remember.
Well, where's one?
It's hard.
The name is a famous hairstyle. That helps.
She can't say that. John! Amy, what's your answer?
Okay. I'm going to say Warren.
Oh, that's why! That's right!
Oh, wow, yes, this person is smart. Actually, you're Googling.
No. That person is named after Chris Moran, the publicist from Scholastic.
Oh, right.
That's really? Where that one comes from. But John Banter, too.
Yeah. John Banter is Patty O'Brien.
Yay!
That's all anyone's named in Ireland is Patty O'Brien.
A superstitious
you
man.
John, can you explain to everybody about the Chipotle Alliance?
Well, let's intro the little wrap-up first here.
It's the drums! Yay! John, can you explain the...
thank you, Frank. Can you explain the Chipotle Alliance, please?
All right.
The weapon we have is salsa.
I love that. Oh, my God. That's so perfect. Where did you just come up with that?
But that's John Noe style.
Holy
crap. Was in my head. Whatever was in my head came out my mouth. That's how you do it, John Noe.
I'm very impressed. All right. Well, the John Noe Chipotle Alliance is something that was created during my video last week. And if you watch Noe Thursday, you'll know that, you know, it's tough times out there for burrito lovers. Recession, everybody, you know, prices going up, dollar dropping in value, etc. It's very hard for people like me to get a frequent burrito. So if this is a cause that you care about, I asked people to donate 11 cents. So if for every, I think it was every 60 people that did it, I would have a burrito to eat. However, I did not realize that PayPal takes 30 cents minimum for every donation. So all those 11-cent donations got absorbed by PayPal's mighty fist of fees. So
it's not a percentage?
No, it's 30 cents minimum plus a percentage.
Yeah.
But,
so wouldn't it just say, "Oh, don't even bother," or it doesn't even tell you?
It doesn't even tell you. It wants your 11 cents, even though I'm sure it's taking a loss on the rest of the 19 cents there.
It doesn't cost them 30 cents to do it. Let's not kid ourselves.
Right.
It doesn't cost them a quarter of a cent to do it.
They're big jerks. So.
So they have to donate 44 cents now, or
they don't have to donate anything. But if they feel so inclined, they could donate the 41 whatever cents it is, just to give me my 11 cents. Yeah. Anyways. The Chipotle Alliance is still going strong. There are about 10 of you in it so far. And all of you will be receiving postcards from me, even though the postage is more than you donated me. So it's really crappy deal for me here. The Chipotle Alliance is not very well thought out.
Never mind, you have to buy the postcard.
Yeah. Oh, what the hell? This sucks. Actually, somebody, a premium member of the John Noe Alliance, actually donated me the cost of an entire burrito, and his name is Bobby, and he's my new best friend.
You're so shameless.
I am shameless. You know what? Look at this, though. Ustream actually has a thing called Tip Jar. I don't know
if you realize. No, it does not.
It has a thing called Tip Jar, and if you give it your PayPal email address, a little icon comes up for people to leave you tips.
No.
Isn't that ridiculous?
Don't make them donate. Well, don't do it. Don't put it up.
Well, I mean, I put up with a little sad burrito next to it. I'll make my burrito guy cry.
With little ribs showing through its tinfoil because it's so skinny.
Oh, my God.
Frankie.
Well, think about it this way. Think about, like, you know, if you go to a bar and there's some girl playing the piano and she's entertaining you for a few hours, she's got a little tip jar. So, and she wouldn't feel bad about people putting a dollar in there if she entertained them. So, it's really
not. You're like a girl on a piano?
What's that?
You're like a girl on a piano?
Not a girl, like, on a piano, like a girl playing the piano.
Okay.
I mean, if the girl was right. Dancing on the piano, I'd give her $2.
I know.
Well, ba-da-bum.
Ba-da-bum. All right. A question from the Twitter. What's the coolest imitation Frack can do?
That's a good question.
Imitation?
That's Twitter too, @Pottercast. That's how you do it if you want us to answer questions. @Pottercast. What's the coolest imitation Frack can do?
I want to make sure Sue's still here because I haven't heard her say anything.
Did we lose Sue?
I'm here. Hello.
Okay.
I'm here.
Sue.
I'm good.
I don't know. I can do
Smeagol.
I feel so weird I'm on the spot doing
it. Do it.
Oh, my God, Frack.
Wow, that was good.
Wow. Brussels.
Oh, my God.
That was amazing.
I love the new voices.
Now do a Japanese Smeagol.
I can't.
Oh.
It sounded like a chipmunk having a seizure.
That was awesome.
Do the robot voice, Smeagol.
Oh, I don't know if I can do that.
Hello. I don't know.
You can't do the robot voice, Smeagol, because the whole point is he's all squirrely and like...
Oh, my God.
Tell me something to say, and I'll say it in Smeagol's voice.
Harry Potter!
You are listening to Pottercast live on Ustream.
You're listening to Pottercast live on Ustream.
Oh, my God!
That couldn't be any more amazing. I want to put that, like, into the thing. It needs to be on the soundboard.
It's kind of...
I'm crying.
I'm dead. dead. You've killed Melissa. Oh, Meagle has killed Melissa.
Oh, my gosh.
Breathe, Melly. Breathe. You're good.
Okay. Oh, can you say my can you say my full book title in Smeagol? Wait, I'm gonna tweet it to you so you get it right, because it's hard to remember the whole thing.
Yeah, put it in
pretty long.
Skype.
We should record. Oh, it just needs
somebody
to be
wants
your Smeagol
to say nasty little moochka.
No.
Lots of little moochka.
Yes, this is the best wrap up we've ever done.
You sent it to me.
Thank you. I can't breathe. Never mind.
Okay, there. I tweeted it to you.
Oh my gosh, it's long.
It's long.
How awful. I'm so proud of the helicopter phenomenon. Whoa!
Oh my god! It was so scary at the end! I'm crying! I'm like weeping!
You're not gonna have the boys!
Oh my god!
How do you do that? You must put that up here! You're like answering machine, Melissa. That's just too funny.
It's going. When Frack calls me, that's what's going to come up.
That's so awesome.
Oh, my God.
No, it's you talk to your nose and just kind of, you scratch it up a little bit.
Oh, my God, I can't breathe. I can't breathe.
Melissa, you were hysterical. You were as funny as Frankie. Your laughter was just dead.
Oh, okay, we'll go back to this at the end. People, Twitter what you want Frankie to say in Smeagol voice. They said you should have done my audiobook.
Oh,
Shadow Dreamers in Smeagol. Oh my god. Oh my god. I'm just. How are you guys doing? Because I'm dead.
This has been the most fun of my life all week.
Oh my god. Now I lost all the other questions. Sue, they want to know how your neck is.
Still very painful. I must. I was saying it's worse than childbirth. It's horrible having a pinched nerve in your neck. No, it's very painful. I could not move the day that it. I mean, I was crying. It made me sick. It was horrible. And I feel bad for, like, you know, have to go to the hospital and stuff, being tracked for. It's just debilitating. It's just terrible. So I'm sorry I didn't put my video up, but there's just no way I could.
Dude.
I could barely even type.
I mean, that's a pretty crappy excuse, but I mean, well.
Well.
Yeah. You suck, Sue.
Oh my goodness. It was the remnants of the horcruxes from the Slytherin thing, John. It was
Is that what happened?
I think it was. It must have been. I don't know.
Oh man. I can't even breathe.
Was there anything else we had to do in this wrap up? Because oh my god.
Well, they want you to
do live Noe Thursday, Smeagol. Frack Schmeagol.
Stay stick around for live Noe Thursday.
Okay,
They want you to Smeagol squee. We got a lot of those.
Ooh.
Oh, no. it's so unsure of itself.
Because it doesn't know how.
Wait, how
to squee.
Wait, what's that part in the movie when what's he saying on the rocks when he's all happy?
Smeagol
If he was happy, it'd be like that, I guess.
But it wasn't Smeagol, though. Gollum said he was free, but he didn't squeak.
Have Smeagol say Dobby is free.
No, I don't know if
that
was really
Smeagol-y. Oh, God, okay.
I think Smeagol needs to do the intro to podcast this week.
I agree.
You're listening.
I think Frack should put a different intro for podcast every week in a different voice.
Oh, yes. I only have, like, four different voices.
That's not true.
You do cats very well, too.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you do Mickey Mouse.
The same way.
Huh? Cats. You do... I bet you could do Woody Woodpecker.
I don't know. I'd have to hear him. I haven't heard him in years.
I know you do the computer voice.
Computer voice.
Oh, yes! They want you to do... They're called Thestrals.
Oh, my gosh.
Is Smeagol or the computer?
That's Smeagol.
They're called Thestrals. Weird sometimes I have to get in the phone.
They're called bustles.
I don't know.
That would be hard.
Oh, funny. All right. Any news about tour, guys?
Oh,
yeah, John.
Is it still happening?
Street?
Really?
Street. Don't we have to call for street people?
Oh, our street crew. Yeah. Well, let's explain about the street crew. The street crew, right now, we don't need your help actually getting any more gigs or anything, but there are a few cities we don't have shows for yet. And if you want to call and talk to your libraries and be like, hey, there's this awesome tour going on, big, you know, book, podcast by Harry Potter and Wizard Rock bands, we really want them to play at the library. And then leave it at that. Because then when we call them, whatever, they'll have remembered, oh, yeah, these weirdos were in here wanting to come and see these guys. So then they'd be more interested in that. But you don't have to, like, be our agents or anything. But that's why we don't want to be confused with the street crew. But soon this week, also, there's going to be instructions of how to really help out and promoting the shows that are already happening in your town, and we're going to put up some posters for you guys to print out, and I mean, they'll just be like black and white little paper-sized thingies, but you can put them up around your town nearby the place and take a picture of it and then send it in, and then be able to give you Mile Leaky points for that.
Lots of Mile Leaky points for that.
Oh, heck, hey. Lots of Mile Leaky points. Yeah, it'll be fun. It'll be amazing.
Awesome.
Where can they go on MyLeaky to read about our tour, John, with our little friend on MyLeaky?
Oh, we have a little friend on MyLeaky called PC Lupin Willow that has tour dates on it. And also, there's going to be a page on Pottercast, a blog post on Pottercast.com that shows all of our tour stops in map form on Google Maps. And if you know of any of the areas that we seem to be driving through that you think we should check out, like fun little stops, to make, suggest them, because we want to make the most of all these road trips this summer, including the little crazy road trip Frankie and I are going on to get from California to Boston to start it out.
Yeah.
We're planning a meetup at the Grand Canyon. June 13th, meetup at the Grand Canyon. If you're in or around Arizona and you want to see us and have a little Harry Potter meetup, come to the Grand Canyon. Anywhere in the Grand Canyon will be fine. No, we're going to actually set up a spot. I think it's going to be near Grand Canyon.
Yeah, just guess.
Yeah.
Not that big.
Exactly.
See you down at the bottom.
Yeah, parachute.
Herbal.
Yeah, and of course, anybody who's going to be, who lives near Cedar Point, Harry Potter Cedar Point Day, probably June 17th. That'll be fun.
Really? Yeah. I didn't know this. Really?
Yeah.
June 17th. Really?
I think, wasn't it? Or June 16th?
We have to be in Boston on the 19th, so...
Oh, no. This isn't new to you, though. I've showed you the map. We're going to be driving through Cleveland area on the 17th, I think.
Okay. Well, that works.
I love... Cedar Point has amazing roller coasters. Y'all, I am a
huge roller coaster. It's the best in the whole world, pretty much.
I might try and come meet you guys, because it just sounds like too much fun.
It is so much fun. It is awesome. I mean... Now, I love... Do you, Frankie? Good.
It's only like $30 to go in like after 4 o'clock till close, called twilight hours, believe it or not.
See, you guys.
Yes, I know that word is ruined.
Yeah. I've never gone to a roller coaster.
Don't let that book ruin.
Oh, I know, Sue. What the hell?
Oh my God! I just realized that I am a huge roller coaster fan, and y'all have gone to Disneyland or World together, and I have not done that with you. This will be fun. I want to go.
Totally.
Melly, you have to come out there.
All right, I'll come. So we'll start tour without shows. It'll be like that mad drive through Mexico that time, but without having to do 17 hours in one day.
Yes, and also things are looking better and better for us being able to do live tour vlogs in the car.
Oh my God.
It's going to be cool. Crazy with multiple cameras, and I'm very excited for this.
All right, well, on that note, Frack, if you would please do a Not My Daughter, You Bitch in Smeagol voice, we can then say goodbye to this podcast.
Okay.
I have to say that?
Yes.
It's amazing. Come on. You don't have to if you don't want to curse. Not my daughter, you jerk.
I can say witch.
Yes.
Okay. So quiet. I'm so self-conscious right now. Me, 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 me.
Not my daughter, you witch!
That was awesome. I love you, Frack. The best thing I ever heard. I want to send it to Joe. So badly. I think she'd laugh her butt off. I think she would just...
She's a big fan of Lord of the Rings.
Tell her to just invite me over for tea and I'll talk in that voice the whole time.
In costume, Miss Smeagol.
I'll crouch down and eat sushi. I don't care.
Ew! Okay.
I love crouching down eating sushi.
Yes, I bet you do. All right, it's time.
All right. Well, I guess until next time, kiddos. Keep twiddling those dials.
The next password will be precious.
Keep each other safe.
Keep faith.
Right. We stink at that. What is that?
We've missed it. What? Never been. Almost 200 shows, and we'll never get it right.
So disappointed.
Now. If you don't mind, I'm going to bed.
Great Scott, no wonder. Look at the time we've been here, nearly 4 hours. Still can't have the time flies when we're having fun.
This week's Pottercast was edited by Andrew Garner, Caitlin Minzy, Seth Brown, and Michael Beckett, and produced by John Noe. Special thanks goes to our awesome transcription elves for transcribing this and every other episode of Pottercast, which can be found at Pottercast.com. Pottercast is the official podcast of the Leaky Cauldron. For more information about Pottercast, or to learn how to be a part of future episodes, visit us at Pottercast.com.